and gentlemen, the Chicago Theater is proud to announce a first. The first time anywhere there's been an act of this nature. Not only one little lady, but two. You've read about them in the papers, and now here they are, Chicago's own.
Girls Night Out with Hannah Stanley on WGN.
Daddy, don't start till I walk in.
Good Lord, Lemon.
Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
What? Wait.
After this.
This is Girls Night Out and we're coming back?
I'm not going to make you listen to it, but I could.
Can I ask a question? What is the line of the script?
Honey, what? Why?
Why are you wearing a tux?
It's after six. What am I, a farmer?
Don't believe me, just why.
Good evening, everybody. Hannah Stanley, this is Girls Night Out on WGN. Boy, we have so much to get through. This is our last show before Christmas, which has kind of snuck up on us. Maybe not to you, but all of a sudden I was like, oh, shoot, that's Friday. That's coming up. So I have, we have hacks. We have 38 Christmas hacks that will help you, coming up a little bit later in the show. We also have, Brian Altimer, who is joining us from the Sean Green Show, which you can hear on WGNplus.com. He is going to be our guest today during our Podities segment. That'll be coming up right after the 8 o'clock news. But joining me first, this guest I just love, and there's so many reasons, and we'll get into this in just a moment. Kevin Sinnott, who is the founder of Coffee Con, a published author on coffee-related books, plural.
Yes.
And the guru of all things Java in my world. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hannah.
We have been talking for a long time about having you come in and brew kind of the perfect cup of coffee.
Yes.
We've had you on Flavor HD before.
Right.
You've been on some of the podcasts on the station, Rachel's in particular. And tonight is the night. But here's why. Coffee is such a great go-to for gifts.
Oh.
There's so much around it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you read President Kennedy's press secretary wrote a book about entertaining, and she said the one thing you can always splurge on are gifts that people can consume, like coffee.
Coffee is wonderful.
Wonderful. I've never had a client, never anyone who doesn't appreciate a cup of a great bag of coffee, a coffee appliance. If you know they're into coffee, there's so many things. We're going to give you some of those.
Oh, well, thank you. But yes, let's talk about those for a second. You are actually currently brewing coffee.
Yes.
In the green room.
So we're done.
Oh, it's already done.
We just finished it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to talk about that as well. You brought in some coffee. Oh. What are we looking for when we go to buy coffee for ourselves?
Well, I mean, and the same thing with a gift, too. We're looking for freshness. And one of the reasons that I understand there are a lot of big, good companies that brew nationally fine. I mean, and their coffee is very good sometimes. But this is, get the local guys. Go to the local guys because they roast it right there. You want coffee that's 2 weeks out of the roaster, folks. Give it a month at the outside, but that's it. And let me tell you, you go into grocery stores and you see these sell-by dates. You have no idea when it was roasted. It could have been roasted when the other party was in office.
All right. So what difference does that make? Do the beans dry out? Why does that change the taste?
Think of coffee as fruit. It's a fruit product. It is a fruit. I mean, it's from a cherry. And think of coffee as fruit. Ah, there we go. I wasn't leaning into my microphone.
Okay, that's okay. All right.
I got to look at the old Orson Welles.
Yes,
pictures.
You do.
Okay. Ignominious. Okay, you got to get coffee that's really fresh. Fresh, fresh, fresh. And coffee is a fruit, and it just goes stale. It gets, water affects it, air affects it, smells affect it. You want it fresh.
All right, so if I have year-old coffee.
Right. Oh, yes.
It needs to be
thrown out.
Okay. Is it because of the oils, or it's just not, it's going to be stale?
It's a number of things.
Okay.
It dries, it oxygenates, the great flavors disappear from coffee. The second thing is it gets, moisture gets into it. It can get a little moldy. And the third thing, which is probably the number one thing, is it simply changes its form, kind of, and it doesn't grind the same. It just doesn't taste the same.
All right, if it's already ground.
Yeah, well, if it's already ground, you've got even less time.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
See, all these things I didn't know. By the way, if you have questions coffee-related, 312-981-7200. Kevin is the guy. Trust me, no one is going to know more about this unless you actively brew your own coffee or you run a coffee yeah. house. So locally, you said go to the local guys. Who's brewing, who's making, who's grinding coffee and roasting coffee here?
Well, I'm going to, this is going to be plug fest time, but the, but they're all good. And I'll tell you what, Big Shoulders is where the coffee we're drinking tonight. Tim and, they are fantastic roasters, and they're an example of the good guys. Botrus and Town to Ipsanto. I mean,
and these are all in Chicago.
Yeah, these are all local Chicago folks. If you're in the Midwest, Madcap, great roasters. I mean, there are a number of them, and let me assure you that generally speaking, if they have a roaster, look for a roaster in the shop or ask them if they roast locally, and they will probably tell you the truth on that. You know, Dunkin' Donuts used to be roasted locally, actually, and now it's roasted, I think, in Canada.
Well, okay, so is Tim Hortons. So
yeah, and it's not...
Actually, Tim Hortons, I think... Well, okay, we'll talk about this some other time. But anyway, I was going to go a whole delineation of who Tim Hortons owns, but we don't need to get into that. There we go. So people are like, oh, I know what she's talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I know where we're at.
So when you grind it, so you've got the whole bean, you've got how long from roasting to consumption?
You have an ideal window of opportunity of 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes. I'll stretch it to a month and say, I'm real world, and believe me, Hannah, I've been broke enough that if I've got coffee that's 2 weeks and 2 days old, I will use it. So don't, you know.
I've been drinking way longer than that.
I know the sad story. I've gotten people coffee for Christmas, and I visit them on, you know, 4th of July, and they make
like,
the
yay.
Coffee. Hey, I've kept a little bit of that back. Coffee's not like wine. You can't hang on to it. You don't want to have a vault.
All right. So then once we grind it,
yeah.
How long do we have?
An hour.
Okay. Where do we store it?
Well, if you're going to use it in 2 weeks, my suggestion is I'm going to suggest a technical word here, a rubber band, and wrap it around the package so that it just stays tight. So
okay.
It just is like that.
Okay, so that's actually in the container that it came in.
Right. Keep it in the bag. It's fine. You roll it over, put a rubber band, or if you're really going to use it within the 2 weeks' time, if you're not, and if you're going to hang on to it for like a month or 2 months, throw it in the
Don't
freezer.
Don't scowl at me. I've done this. Okay, freezer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was looking at someone outside through the window.
Of course
window.
You are.
The,
of course.
One of the Andy Frayn ushers out there. The,
sure.
But definitely, I would use it. Yeah, I would try to use it. You won't have to try to use it. If you learn to brew coffee, how I'm going to suggest, you will use coffee quickly. But if you decide to hang on, some people get like it's a wine collection. They say, I just can't bring myself to use that last bit of that Sumatra.
This is my holiday 2010
collection. Yeah, exactly. And we're not at that point yet in packaging. I hope someday, but we're just not. So what you need to do, though, if you want to keep it for 6 months, I'll give you up to 6 months if you throw it in the freezer, not the fridge.
Freezer.
The freezer.
All right. So texture from 708, freezer. He
yeah.
says freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Regular bean? Still, can you put it in the freezer?
Oh, I would definitely put the bean in the freezer. Don't grind it and put it in the freezer.
Oh.
Keep it in its best. Nature gave a great container for coffee storage. It's called the bean.
Okay.
Keep it in the bean as long as you can.
All right. Now, that's once it's roasted. How long does it have pre-roasting? Because obviously it's coming from Colombia and all these, Peru, all over.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's the green coffee question. How long does it really last? And you'll hear people talk about all kinds of theories of this in the industry itself. One of the roasting concepts of recent years has been what's called seasonality, just like apples, you know, the Macintosh are in
season,
those types of things. Well, there's that theory that green coffee is the same way, and you've got a good time to use it, and it's a couple of months from when the crop comes in. The problem is that's really hard for us, and I'm calling us all consumers, to know if you're not a roaster.
Right.
That's why you kind of got to count on your local roasters to really have the stuff that is in season. And that's why it's important to try to break the habit of, oh, I've got to have this type of coffee, because you want to switch around during the year, because it is like that.
Okay, so it is the summer shandy of coffee.
Yeah,
we need to have Like, okay.
And it is like that.
All right. Another, and we're going to answer this after the break, K-cups. And you and I have discussed this at end. So let us get to that after the break. Okay. Hannah Stanley here. It is Girls Night Out. Kevin Sinnott joining me, founder and the guy behind it all on CoffeeCon. More with him after this on WGN.
If I can't take my coffee break, my coffee break, my coffee break.
I love this
break.
Song.
You
if
should.
I can't take my coffee break.
Coffee. In my Twitter handle, which is at Hannah Aggie, I believe it's that one. It says, I drink coffee, mm-hmm. with an exclamation point. Hannah Stanley here. This is Girls Night Out on WGN. Kevin Sinnott is joining me, founder of CoffeeCon, which if that doesn't explain to you his life's work, I don't know what will. Thank you for coming in. You have brewed coffee. Tell me what we are enjoying.
We are enjoying from Big Shoulders right here in Chicago, Sulawesi.
Sulawesi.
That's an Indonesian coffee.
Sulawesi.
Some of my favorite coffees are Indonesian coffees.
Sulawesi.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cologne commercial that Antonio Banderas would star in. Sulawesi. But it tastes really good.
It's fantastic. It's in season too.
Now, so it is in season, which means it was harvested when?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
Two, 3 months ago?
Yeah, probably.
Because to get packaged, you have to pick it,
yes.
and then you lay it all
process
out, and it dries.
Right.
I've seen this on documentaries because I'm a nerd about stuff like this, and I say this in good company. and then it's packaged up, and then it has to get on ships or planes or whatever and get here, and then go through whatever rigmarole it has to do to be put on the shelf here, then it has to get roasted.
Yeah.
So it goes to whoever
bought
it and then and roasted, and then we drink it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this product.
So next time you complain about however $14 a pound for coffee, understand what we just explained.
Yeah. And I wish more of it went to the farmer. I mean, that's long term what needs to happen.
Who does the money go to?
Well, I mean, that's a great. I'm not a political consultant.
But
the roaster, of course, makes money, which he should. I mean, if you buy it in a grocery store, certainly they've got to taking a little piece of it. And, you know, all through there, though. I mean, shipping docks, there's all kinds of fees. Transportation is a big part of coffee. It has to be. And, of course, and the fresher you want it. The good news is the way the system is now is gotten so good and so efficient, its potential. We will see the time, I believe, in the very near future when people will actually be able to find the coffee they're going to be drinking in 2 months and zoom in on it, you know, almost like a Google Earth thing. But another sense, you'll be able to buy coffee from a specific farm. And, you know, that's a big change in the last 10, 15 years. Most of the coffee, you couldn't narrow it to the farm 10, 15 years ago. Now you can.
Now you can. Yeah. And I've actually seen companies talking about that.
Right.
By the way, if you have questions about coffee or potential coffee gifts or how to brew properly, Kevin is the guy. 312-981-7200. Kevin Sinnott joins me. CoffeeCon.com is the website.
Coffee-con.com.
Coffee-con. It's not a con of coffee. It's a coffee convention.
It's like, I was influenced, I think Bob Dylan would say, by Comic-Con.
Of course you were. I've been to CoffeeCon. I believe I went to the first one.
Yes.
It was fantastic. It was so interesting to learn about the depths of things. And I did. I had some of the coffee that is... how you say pooped out?
Oh, you had the Kopi Luwak.
Yeah.
Kopi Luwak is, yeah.
And that literally is eaten and gotten rid of by an animal.
Yes.
And then they clean it and dry it and I drank it.
Does everyone understand what it is about that coffee that's unique?
I don't think so. Let's explain.
I don't think so. And it's not widely known. The reason it's so renowned is because, in fact, when it's... And I'm going to refer to it like seafood, you know, wild caught. When it's wild Kopi Luwak, meaning that critters find the stuff in the wild, and they are some of the finickiest coffee buyers in the world.
And which animal is this?
This is the Luwak.
Yes, of course, the Luwak.
And that creature only chooses the finest coffee to eat. So therefore, when they've consumed it, and then it it certainly has another factor when it goes through its digestive tract. And I know that's people don't like to think about it, but the reality is that also has an effect on it, a positive effect.
Well, there's enzymes and digestive things that go on.
Yeah, that's really, it can be done in another way. And we used to have what were called aged coffees, and that meant it, in some ways they kept them in storage while that happened naturally. But at any rate, this is what's great about it. The problem is when you get the creatures in captivity and they are forced to work. Not only is there
they're
an
only
ethical
eating what is in front of them,
but that's it. And that's no, you don't want that. You want the luwak.
So you're and that's way more than $14.
Yeah, it's all more. It's all more. And unfortunately, it's a difficult thing for the U.S. market so far because it doesn't have it doesn't have a roaster margin built into it.
Well, I will tell you, it was something that I sought out. I knew it was going to be at CoffeeCon, and I was like, zoom! Yeah. I went straight to it, and I was like, I really need to try this. And it was good.
Yeah, it can be very good. I've had some samples that were real disappointments, but I've had once or two. This is a horrible thing about coffee, and in some ways I want to warn your audience, please don't do what I've done. You end up having this wonderful, perfect cup of coffee, and you spend the rest of your life looking for it again.
No, you just have to keep, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
We are going to take a quick break. Kevin is going to stay with me after the news, and I promise we will get to coffee gifts, and then and we will do a very quick synopsis on how to brew the perfect cup, because this is something, he could talk for hours about this.
And I never sleep.
Why would you? No. You're caffeinated. Hannah Stanley, Kevin Sinnott sitting in with me tonight. We are talking coffee, 312-981-7200. If you have questions, that is the number. We will be back after this to get you to the news.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions. So they've got to find those extra cups to fill.
Nicely done. A little chairman singing about coffee with the chairman of CoffeeCon, Kevin Sinnott. Hannah Stanley here with you on WGN. This is Girls Night Out, and it is Girls Night Up because we are awake and drinking amazing coffee from Indonesia.
Yes.
I like to say Indonesia. I have no idea if that's even close to how it should be said. We had a texter to 312-981-7200. And if you have questions about gifts or things you own or how to use them properly, Kevin is your guy. Text those in. K-cups.
Well.
That was weird. You just shuddered.
Yeah,
that was a little bit strange.
There's a couple of things. One of them is, and interestingly, I'm not going to be as hard on K-cups as some of my ilk would be. The K-cup did fix a problem. Here's what happened. I'll just tell you the quick story. I hope I can make it quick. The K-cup came along. Regular coffee makers weren't so hot either, folks.
Right.
They didn't get the water hot enough. They took 12. They still do. Some of the brands take 12, 13 minutes to make 12 cups. People threw out most of the coffee, so that was wasteful too. If we're talking about not being green, wasting coffee, and if you're drinking the coffee that we're drinking tonight, I can't afford to throw coffee out. So so the K-cup seemed to have that answer. It isn't an over-extraction, it's an under-extraction. However, it is an under-extraction, and the problem with most K-cups, the average stuff, first of all, it's packed over a year ago, maybe, you know, I mean, how we don't talk about freshness dates. I understand they've been working on the packaging. They're pretty good at keeping oxygen out of the packaging, but that does not mean that anybody can really guarantee it's fresh. It's not fresh. It's just most of the time it's stale coffee, and most of the time you're paying through the nose for it. I drink the most expensive coffee there is possible, but I'm paying less than K-cup users are for lousy coffee.
Because it is a per piece.
It's a licensed, patented product, and they're making millions, billions, I guess, off it. Yeah, I mean, they're just making a lot of money.
But it is a gosh darn convenient. Yeah, yes.
I got a coffee question for you.
Sure.
What do you think of the grind and brew machines that are on the market?
Oh.
That's a great question. You know, I think it's it ultimately is the idea. They have to all become grind and brew machines. That's what they all need to do. And I just testing right now, I've been testing a Breville machine. I'll tell you, it's great at a mid-cup setting. It falls apart when you brew it a full batch because it's too much coffee. It doesn't have room to expand if you're drinking fresh coffee. The idea of it, the concept of it is fantastic.
OXO makes one. How is that?
OXO makes one.
What about Cuisinart?
Okay.
Cuisinart, no.
let me put it this way: if you get a machine like a Cuisinart, just a regular one, how do you know how much of the bean to put in to a separate grinder to make a decent pot of coffee?
That's a great question as well. In fact, we brought something along that I use, and we were talking about the fact that. And radio's great because you can imagine this. I'm knocking together.
I know. He's like a Foley artist.
Yeah. Here we are. Yeah. I am. When I've had enough caffeine. Okay, look at these two. I've got two measures that are called approved coffee measures, and they're both totally different
scoops.
Sizes.
They're both
so
scoops.
So the answer to the question is to weigh them. It's to weigh it.
Yeah.
Just like
so
the airlines do with your bags, you do weigh it.
Because if you get a coffee maker, it comes with
right.
a scoop.
It should be done by weight. We should just be weighing these
so
things.
So how much should you put in by weight per cup that you want to brew?
10 grams for a 6-ounce cup. Now, I'm really confused that. Unfortunately, that's what the spec is. The reality is most machines don't do 6-ounce cups anymore. They're 5-ounce cups. So you just have to do the math on that. But you can formulate it. And
let's live in the real world.
Yeah.
So if it's 10 grams mm-hmm. for a 6-ounce cup, and I'm drinking, let's say, 18 at some point during the morning in rapid succession.
Why don't you just get a caffeine drip?
I have asked for one, and my doctor will not. It's an insurance issue.
Yeah,
David
and there's side
Jennings.
Effects to those.
It is.
Sorry.
It's because I have an HMO.
well, at least you have something.
I had something. I'm better than most, but it still won't approve the IV. So then that would just 6 times 3 is 18. So I need 30 grams of ground coffee.
Yeah, it's about right. And then it's perfect. And that's how I do it every morning because, frankly, at the time of morning that I brew coffee, even though I've written two books on coffee, I'm not interested in doing it. I've actually got a little cheat sheet right by my
All right. We have
maker.
A caller on the phone. Ken, you're on WGN.
Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
Yes. I was in a restaurant and had a cup of coffee, and I'm usually not that much of a connoisseur, but it tasted pretty good.
Really?
I asked about it. And they said it was called Dow Egbert. It was a concentrated coffee. Came in a showed me the little machine. It was in a like a container and hooked up to their water system in the restaurant.
Yeah,
and
Kevin.
It was about
Kevin.
Six or eight.
Kevin is about to fall over. Why? What are you making faces for, Kevin?
Well, because it's radio, and I didn't want
to hear that.
Yeah, it is. It is a concentrate. Is really usually it started off.
Have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the inventor of it at Dow Egbert's called me when he invented it, and he told me he was very excited about it. Couldn't wait to get back to Chicago because at the time, Dow Egbert's Chicago team Superior was located in Bensonville, and he wanted to try this product out on me, and he did, and he was so proud, and he was just watching every move I made when I took it, and I took a gulp of it, and I said, Ralph, coffee is really a taste thing. And that's what everybody in the coffee business does when they can't stand the...
Right.
You know, it's sort
so
of
So, Ken,
like,
you enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, it was a bit nice, smooth coffee. And I'm not a connoisseur, but it was different than most restaurant coffees. And I enjoyed it. And I asked about it. Well, it was like a 6 to 8-inch sort of tube. And went into this machine. And I think it makes something like 200 cups, if I remember. But I thought it was good, and I was wondering if you'd ever heard of it.
Yeah.
I guess I said the wrong thing.
No, there's no wrong thing. There are wrong answers.
If you like it, though, then it's good for you.
Look.
It's all subjective.
Yeah, it is subjective. In that regard, believe me, I've seen these coffee conventions. These guys go, they'll have fist fights over their opinions about coffee. So don't, you're a player. You've got an opinion. That's the only thing you need in the coffee business to be an expert. So I would say this about concentrate. Here's the good news about concentrate. It has been brewed properly.
Oh,
okay. Good.
Even if it was during the Eisenhower years, it has been brewed properly.
But they made good coffee back then, Ken.
They sure did.
Thank you for your call.
Vintage.
I appreciate you listening. Bye-bye now.
Okay, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you. All right, so it's interesting you say that, and I'm glad Ken called in because he brought up a really good point. What is good to you is maybe or maybe not good to me because it's all taste. It's all flavors. There was someone at CoffeeCon, and people, they were lining up. And I, in all sincerity, I have no memory of who this was. which brewer. But I was like, well, clearly this is awesome. I have to get in this line.
Yeah.
And it tasted like Lake Erie to me. It was just,
I think you can drive on Lake Erie.
You can. And that's now after they've cleaned it up. Good work by them. But no, it really was not ideal to my palate.
Yeah.
So it really is what tastes good to you and gets you through your day is great, but there is a way to do it better.
Correct. And yes, concentrate is brewed properly. And that's not a small thing. Brewing is half of coffee. And it's real easy around the coffee business to want to think it's like wine and think that it's wine is prepared a long time ago and it even gets better in the bottle sometimes.
Yeah.
But reality, coffee never gets better, and coffee can't be brewed a long time ago. I understand that notwithstanding the chance of having a good cup of coffee that's from concentrate, it's like having apple juice or orange juice from concentrate. In my opinion, Minute Maid can never taste as good as
fresh
a fresh squeezed orange juice. And that's really the analogy.
All right. Give me a couple of coffee gifts, and then we're going to take a break and come back.
Coffee gifts. Well, I'll tell you what I would get. This is my get a grinder. If someone doesn't have a grinder, this is the year of the grinder. There are a lot of grinders out now. I just tested three of them at my blog, and grinders are one thing you don't have to say are subjective. The grind is right or it doesn't. There are a lot of good grinders now. The prices are coming down on them. It's a good time to buy one, and grinder is the key. It's the gateway to being a coffee enthusiast. Grind your own coffee. You could save money over K-cups, and you can get just a much better cup of coffee.
All right, gift number two.
Gift number two is a Chemex. Does everyone have a Chemex?
Okay, so my Keurig broke. And I mentioned this to you. And so I have a press. I've had a press for a long time. But again, I had a Keurig.
Yeah.
Why did I need a press, right? Because it was quick, easy, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. So I've been using the press. But when I mentioned the Keurig died on me, I had like seven people put up pictures of a Chemex.
Yeah.
And it looks like two, not beakers.
It's a laboratory beaker is what it
is. Okay, so it is a beaker.
It is. I call it it's a beaker.
And you put a filter in it.
You put a filter in a very thick, I've got one right with me.
Okay, we're going to post some pictures up at my Facebook page.
Double the thickness of any other
I think my Facebook page is now that Hannah Stanley. I think that's the show page.
We're going to make it a coffee Facebook page.
Coffee
Hannah.
Facebook page. That Hannah Stanley is super caffeinated. That's the new. That's new. So you pour in this super thick filter and you put the coffee into it.
Yes.
And then you pour the coffee. So it's a pour over.
It's a pour over, but it's unlike any other. It's very slow. It's and you pour it, you take and you put hot water over it. And you grind the coffee a little coarser. And
so it just doesn't slip through.
Yeah. And what's wonderful about it is, you know, some people like wine that's unfiltered. And I don't. I like wine that's filtered. I don't like to see little pieces of twigs and stuff, insects in my wine. I like to have it clean.
Sure.
And coffee clean, it lasts longer, meaning it doesn't, because some of that is continuing to, that material is continuing to extract. It doesn't do that. It's very clean tasting, and it's a wonderful, you can make it very strong, and yet it still tastes good. No bitterness. Never had a bitter
All
cup
right,
of
so
coffee
that's a Chemex
that.
Gift number three.
Gift number three, let's see, would be a scale.
Okay. And you can get those. And that's the thing, because I was telling you where you were saying it's ideal to measure. I weigh things when I bake.
Right.
If they give me, and I love recipes that say the grams or the ounces or the whatever, I measure things because it's scientific.
Bonavita makes a scale. And the OXO grinder that I brought tonight actually has a built-in scale. It's the first one that's come out.
I saw that last year at the houseware show.
Yeah,
OXO is always my first place. I'm like,
man,
well, plus it's the first thing when you walk
incredible?
In.
Aren't they incredible? They've just entered
amazing.
The market,
amazing. It is fantastic. Yeah, this is their first year with coffee makers.
Yeah.
It was great. We're going to come right back and talk about brewing the perfect cup and the fact that you should practice this, people, before you have guests over. Practice your coffee more with Kevin Sinnott, founder of CoffeeCon, coffee-con.com. Hannah Stanley, Girls Night Out, WGN.
They never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil.
Look at Rachel, no just like whipping out the coffee music. Hannah Stanley, this is Girls Night Out on WGN. Joining me is Kevin Sinnott. And what's funny, and you're the founder of Coffee Con, I actually figured you and I would be like, boom, boom, caffeine. We're going to talk through this in like 30 seconds.
Right.
And here we are. It's almost a full hour. excellent stuff. We've recently talked about three ideal gifts: grinder, scale, Chemex.
Yes.
No press. You didn't mention a press.
I didn't, but I do want to mention one more coffee maker.
Yes.
An automatic drip coffee maker. People think I don't use them, but I do. Okay. And there are some excellent ones now. The best one, it's the least expensive, because I know we're on a budget, right?
Of course.
Is a Bonavita.
Ah.
Bonavita is a secret coffee maker, and I'm telling you, they're great. It's the reality is, originally it was a Melitta coffee maker. Melitta, this is going to take longer to tell you about the coffee maker. Melitta licenses their name to Hamilton Beach in this country, so they couldn't bring it out as a Melitta coffee maker. So it's Melitta coffee maker in Europe, but in the U.S. it's called Bonavita BV19, and that's the 8-cup. And what's cool about it is it's got a pre-infusion stage, and I'll tell you that what quickly is. It just lets the real fresh coffee, it foams up. It just drips a little bit of water in there, just enough to let it foam up and fall back down again. And from then on, it's the same as normal. So it does a great job, and it's relatively inexpensive. I think you can still get, I bet you could still get one online and ship it in time.
All right. That is good. Now, here's the thing, people. We practice recipes. We practice desserts. We set the table the night before and take pictures and put them on Pinterest. Nobody thinks about their coffee. Tell me what people should be doing to brew a cup of coffee that people are going to talk about.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. Sing it, sister. That was the right that was the right thing to
All
ask
right,
about.
We got okay. 2 minutes.
Okay, let's do
okay.
2 minutes. Let me give you at least some content. Okay. Grind coarser than you want to grind. If you're using a grinder, go a notch coarser. People overgrind every time I'm at someone's house. Second of all, measure. You measure for your pancake batter in the morning. You know, you look at the Pillsbury box and you measure for your coffee.
10 grams
per 6 ounces.
Cup.
Figure
okay.
that out. Do the math.
All
and
right.
then the other thing is, if you've got a 12-cup coffee maker and it's take, it, I want to time how long your coffee maker takes once. Shouldn't take more than 6 minutes. If it takes more than 6 minutes, try to make less coffee. If you're probably throwing coffee out anyway, you should, even if you have to make it after lunch again.
Okay, that's it. What temperature should we be brewing at?
Well, it should be brewing. I assume you have no control over that. But if you're brewing with a Chemex or something, you need to measure the temperature. Should be between 196 Fahrenheit and 205 Fahrenheit.
So a boil?
No. 212 is boil. It has to be 206 maximum. If it's any hotter than 206, frankly, I'm sorry, 205, it will be over-extracted.
And then it'll burn the coffee?
I think, yes. In fact, this is more than you want to know, but I'll tell you, between those, play around with those numbers if you're using a Chemex. Measure your water. I found 198 oftentimes is a better brewing temperature than 200. I know, but people are going to say, you can tell the difference? Absolutely.
Well, you can.
Well, no, I think people can.
You have a super palate.
Well, I do have a pretty good palate, enough to ruin most of my life. But the fact is, I think most people can, they just don't know what to call it.
All right, sugar, cream, or none?
Whatever you like. That should be free. Come on, let's keep a little freedom left in the country, shall we? You can't. I know. On my own show, I've seen people say, oh, no. She'll grab his hand and say, don't put the cream in at this event. You know, like they're going to be walked out by, guards.
Yes.
No. You have it how you like it. You paid for it.
All right. Tell me about CoffeeCon. When is the next one?
Next one's in L.A. Come on, folks. It's January. I hear rumors it's going to be cold in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's why I scheduled it.
I talk to Skilling pretty regularly. I don't know.
Oh, come on. Well, it's going to be colder than it is in L.A.
Agreed.
Anyway, we've got great coffee
when
in L.A. The
30th. One? Okay, the
30th
of
Saturday.
January.
Yeah.
When is the one here?
The one here will be next November.
Okay, and downtown?
And there's one in New York in May.
Okay, so this is a three, you do all three coasts.
Yeah, we do all three. We're in the flyover zone where I live.
All right, so this is CoffeeCon. You can go to coffee-con.com, and all of this stuff, as I mentioned, will be up on my Facebook page, the show Facebook page, all kinds of different places, and check us out. I will put up all of these gifts and pictures and stuff like that. Kevin Sinnott, founder of CoffeeCon, coffee-con.com. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Hannah.
All right, we're going to get you to a break and bring you back and get you to the news with David Jennings after this on WGN.